Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios, this is the Morning Rush.
5 seconds, Gray starts to go, crosses over, drives, leans in, scores it! He flipped it up and in off the window!
Streaming live on HitThatLine.com and bringing you all the NCAA tournament coverage.
One timeout, they don't take it!
Your hosts, Tommy Kraft and Nick Mason.
Oh, it just sounds like basketball when you hear those tunes. Wasn't it great yesterday? About 11 o'clock, get that going. We're going to do it all again today, and Arkansas is playing today. That makes it even better. Yesterday was a lot of fun. It goes to another level today. Arkansas, around 2 o'clock today. Tip time scheduled for 2:10. Just will depend on the Purdue game that happens ahead of Arkansas. You might want to get to wherever you're watching games at a little early, do a little scouting report on the Boilermakers, because we all know that Arkansas is going to win and move and advance on as they will take on today the Buffalo, take on Butler today, and hopefully advance on to the Sweet 16. I'm Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason here as we roll through a Friday, a busy last 2 hours here of the week as we get you ready for Arkansas and Butler. 2:10 today, a lot going on. Daryl Macon, his legacy, what's it look like at Arkansas? Daniel Gafford, are we watching him for the final game, two games? Maybe his final three games when we get into next weekend? How far is this going? Or is Daniel Gafford coming back? I think the Purdue game, if it develops and happens, is a big test and a big moment for Daniel Gafford. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, in about an hour, we're going to talk to, or exactly an hour, Scott Tabor is going to come in here, former Arkansas Razorback, who had a big week because he was there as part of the 79 College World Series team reunion for the Arkansas-Texas game this week. We'll talk to him a little bit about that, but I want to get to this Arkansas-Kentucky series in baseball. This is a huge deal. Nick, it's number 4 versus number 5 in Fayetteville. I think we'll have great crowds because we're going to have good weather. I think some people will stay and watch basketball, particularly on Sunday of Arkansas's playing. I think the Saturday crowd is going to be huge. And I think tonight, when you get Blaine Knight on the mound, you're going to have a good crowd for that as well, because Arkansas's game will be over by then, and the crowd will make their way out for that 6:30 start.
Yeah, so a lot of expectations for this Razorback baseball team this year. Even though the baseball season has started, it doesn't feel like it really starts until basketball ends, especially if your basketball team is good. So is the season going to start today? Is it going to start this weekend? But this would be a great series to get under your belt, because this is a baseball team that, if you remember, whenever they lost last year and whenever they lost their final game, and you're kind of looking at the rosters, just like we always do, and you're projecting, and you're looking ahead, then at that time, everybody instantly start talking more about next year, which would be this mm-hmm. year, but people instantly start talking more about that than they were the final loss. Everybody expects this team to be in Omaha. I think anything short of that would be a big disappointment for all the Razorback fans.
All right, so today, 2:10 is the scheduled tip time. Arkansas is actually an underdog, according to Vegas, even though Arkansas is the 7 seed. Butler, who has won 20 games this year, 20-13, their record, is the 10 seed, about a point and a half favorite right now there in Detroit at Little Caesar Arena when Arkansas and Butler and the Bulldogs get after it a little bit later on. Arkansas is 5-2 this season in neutral site games and has won 5-plus neutral site games in back-to-back seasons for the first time in 10 years. 3 out of 4 years in the tournament again, and Arkansas has faced 11 teams that are in this year's tournament field. Now, that's a tribute also, or a testament also, to how improved the SEC is as well. Arkansas has posted an 8-8 record this year. How do you assess that? They're 8-8 against teams in the field this year. Is that a passing grade? Is that good? I mean, obviously you want to improve on that.
Right.
When I tell you they're 8-8 against the 11 teams that are in the field, what's your reaction?
I don't buy into that much, because Arkansas was playing different basketball at the beginning of the season when they beat tournament teams. Then they were playing different basketball in the middle of the season when they lost to tournament teams. Then they were playing different basketball at the end of the season whenever they beat or they lost to tournament teams. A better stat would be, have they played any tournament teams over the last 2 or 3 weeks, over the last 5 or 6 games, and what's their record against the tournament teams then? But even that, though, Butler's going to bring a different style from anybody that Arkansas has played against this year. So, and you know, once again, we can get caught up in a ton of stats, and I said this last week, and we can get caught up in stats all day long, but if you take the echo chamber out, and if you're looking at just this game, how much does them beating Oklahoma 3 months ago have to do with today's game? None. Zero. Like, that's a completely different team now and then. And so a lot of these stats that people, in which people love to hear them, the SEC loves to post them out and give them out. A lot of those things, though, now throughout the duration of a season, it means something. But for one game in the NCAA tournament, I don't know how much you can look at any numbers outside of, okay, well, what are these guys averaging per game? What's the team's how many turnovers are you averaging as a team? What's your free throw percentages? Those type of things are going to carry over. But as far as how Arkansas has done against tournament teams, none of those teams are similar to the team that they're going to be playing this afternoon.
This isn't a stab, but I think it's a fact. You can't win today without Darryl Macon and Jalen Barford and probably Daniel Gafford, all three playing well, but at least two of those three playing well. And generally, Darryl Macon is the common denominator in that. You look at his season, he's 37th in scoring. He reached the 1,000-point club. It's his second season at Arkansas. He was included in the AP first team All-SEC. He was left out of the coaches' selections. But this is a guy that's been integral for Arkansas. And I've said all along throughout the entire season, Arkansas can't win against a quality team unless Barford and Macon combine for 40. And I don't think Arkansas can be beat when the big three there, Barford, Macon, and Gafford, combine for 55. I think when they go for 55 together, it's over. I just don't think you can. It's going to be very difficult for a team to outdo that. We've talked about Gafford, and maybe we're seeing his last games. We know we're seeing Macon's last games. What's his legacy? When we sum it up for a player that only had two seasons out of Little Rock Park View, what are we going to say about Darryl Macon and his time at Arkansas a season or two or three or four from now?
So much of your legacy depends on one or two games. And
we're at that point,
right,
aren't we?
And if
that was where I was heading with this. Yeah.
If Darryl Macon is able to get this team to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, possibly even Final Four, you're going to think about him much differently than if he goes out in the first round. And it's amazing that everything a player could have done for 2 years, all that, the build-up process, really comes down to one game. Because if you go out there and lose today and Darryl Macon has a bad performance, people aren't going to remember that he was, what, the SEC player 6 times in his career, or the SEC player of the week 6 times or 7 times, only trailing Corliss Williamson by one, the second most in Razorback history. People aren't going to remember that if Darryl Macon wasn't on the team last year, if he didn't decide to come to the University of Arkansas, you wouldn't have made the tournament last year. People aren't going to remember that if Darryl Macon didn't decide to come back this year, you wouldn't have made the tournament this year. And now you're talking about not making the tournament last year or this year, you may have a new coaching staff. People are not going to remember that if he wets the bed today. And that's the beauty in sports, and that's also the bad part of sports too, that highlights stick out a lot more than just an individual's career. So if Macon, he controls his own destiny, if he's able to have a run here where he goes 2, 3, 4 games to where he's scoring 25 or 30 points and he's leading this Razorback team, he could get his way into the top 20, top 25 Razorbacks of all time. You happen to lose today, though, you'll never sniff that list.
Mike talked earlier in the week about how he's had to manage Darryl over the course of this year and the development he's had with him and what he's had to do to coach him along throughout the year.
You talked about about him bringing guys out of the shell, him being more open. I think that's just maturity and getting comfortable, you know, in your own skin in terms of what you're doing and your role on this basketball team. And I think it's, if you look at his season, you know, here's a guy that, you know, obviously last year he played well. This year, I had to do some juggling to get him to play at a high level, take some of the pressures away. And then I think it worked to help our basketball team and make him a better player and a better person. And I just think he embodies the right thing now. And it's refreshing to see.
That stretch of games where Darryl came off the bench, I think that's exactly what Mike's talking about there, right? It's, you know, we had to do some things to take the pressure off of him and get the most out of him. That was the not starting at three or four games there, coming off the bench, was an attention getter. And it seemed to have worked. What did that do to turn his season? I don't know that it turned his season around, but took it to another level.
Yeah, you know, and you've been working with me now for like a year. All of this stuff, guys, coaches have to fill a certain amount of minutes a week of talk. They do. And some coaches get it, and some coaches understand that Tom Murphy or Richard Davenport or any of the other writers out there, they don't want to hear the same thing over and over. Also, coaches don't want to throw guys under the bus. This just came down to an attitude thing, and it wasn't necessarily that Mike wanted more bench points. You know, that was a topic during the year. It wasn't that. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily that, oh, well, Mike has to get the team playing better, or Darryl make it playing better. This was Darryl had something that happened during the middle of the season. If he wasn't listening to Coach Anderson or whatever the case may be, Coach Anderson benched him. But now they are on a run. They look good. So if you're Mike, why bring up, well, you know, Darryl had a little attitude, so I had to put him on the bench. There's no reason to send out anything and put anything out there in the open air to where somebody can grab a tweet and text it to Darryl or text it to Anton or Jalen or any of those things. Mike is a professional. He's been around for a while now, so he's not going to put out there anything that's going to distract his team. And that's all that was, is just coach speak and trying to just to make everything look good.
All right, just after 2 o'clock today, we'll be on the radio with the pregame. Chuck Barrett, Matt Zimmerman around at 1:30 today. Tip-off scheduled for 2:10 today. It's on True TV if you want to watch on TV, and we'll have it on the radio on many of these stations you're listening to right now here on The Morning Rush. It is a Fast Break Friday brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. March markdown underway. Save big on Sierra trucks. The fastest-growing Buick GMC dealer in the region is Harry Robinson Buick GMC. A couple reasons why. Low prices, big selection, they give you more for your trade. And Sierra Trucks, over $10,000 off right now on professional-grade trucks. Fully loaded, tons of options, and plenty right now to choose from at Harry Robinson. Save over $10,000 during their March markdown. It's Fast Break Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC.
You are in the middle of a Fast Break Friday.
Stroking it from three.
Presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC in Fort Smith. On air and streaming now on hitthatline.com. This is The Morning Rush.
Hey, if you want to get after us this morning on Twitter, you can do that at Morning Rush Show. At Morning Rush Show on Twitter, if you want to talk to us there. Or you can hit us up on the phone lines, 877-377-6963. That's 877-377-6963. Fast Break Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. No need to go north for your next vehicle. You can get the best deal on a new Buick or a new GMC right here locally at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. No reason to drive an hour or more away. More for your trade, always. At Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Things are changing here at the Morning Rush. You've known that. It's been a few weeks since Derek announced that he's going to step away from radio. Things are a little bit different today. They're weird for me. They're different for me. I'm not used to being in this chair, kind of leading the conversation. It's not really what I'm comfortable doing, not normally what I do. I step in and do it when someone's on vacation or when I need to, but not necessarily my role. And not the role I'm going to continue in. John Neighbors, who we introduced you to on Wednesday of this week, will fill this role, and it will be John and myself and Nick every day with you. Tyler will still be stopping in for visits. We'll still have Tom Murphy and Richard Davenport and other folks on the show as we move along. But John's here in the studio with us this morning. He's going to spend some time up until 8 o'clock this morning chatting with us here. And, John, we're glad you're here. Monday, it's all going to be a different world here on the Morning Rush.
No doubt about it. And let me just say that I am really appreciative that this all worked out during March Madness instead of like late June when there's not really anything going on and there's not really much to talk about, not much excitement. But no, I am really excited about this opportunity. Obviously, we've had a working relationship for a while now. And
well, Nick did tell you still have to come in and do shows in June, right? Nick did tell you that?
Well, Nick told me there'd be no work. Like, that's what...
No, that's Nick. I think Nick's already got that job.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was... It's one of those things where it's exciting, and it's also something that I'm appreciative of. But also, working with you two and us doing the show together and all that, even though we haven't all technically done a show together, me and Nick used to do one, but I think that this trio will work out really well.
I didn't hear those tapes.
Well,
wait a minute. No one turned those tapes in when I was doing the the review process.
I was hoping that Chris Fry or Bart or April won because John fired me before. So hopefully...
Well, you probably deserved it.
Not probably. But hopefully John doesn't get too close to Tommy and gets on Tommy's good side and gets me fired again. Because it has to be somebody else's fault. It can't be my fault.
Of course.
Well, we're glad you're here. And no one's more glad you're here than me, particularly with everything that's going on here. It's but out there listed, behind the scenes, folks, it's just chaos. But we're doing a pretty good job of sorting through it all. And, hey, listen, there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some bruises. There's going to be some things that don't sound normal, some things that sound different, some things you're going to like more, some things you're going to like less. But we're just going to be here talking about it. We're just going to – here's what we're still going to do. Here's still the deal that doesn't change. We're just going to tell you what we really think. And no matter – who's behind these microphones, as long as I'm involved, that's the deal, is we're going to be honest with you. We're not going to give you any company line or any nonsense. It's just going to be what we really think about stuff. And we're just going to have this conversation every morning.
That's right.
We're going to let you be a part of it via Twitter, call in, however it wants to work. We'll see where this all goes, all right? That's what we're going to do. All right, well, one of the things I wanted to get to here was one of the most unusual stories I've heard, and this story from Mike Anderson's a little bit long, but I think he tells it better than I can tell it. But we all know that Arkansas won the 1994 national championship, and we all know that Mike Anderson was the lead assistant, top assistant for Nolan Richardson. And we all know that championship teams get championship rings. That's why you compete, right? To win the ring. Mike Anderson, I didn't know this. Did any of you guys know that he had lost? And
no,
apparently
clue.
There's two championship rings, but he lost his championship ring. And recently, maybe as an omen, the ring has shown back up.
Yeah, I lost the NCAA national championship ring. I had no idea when I lost it. That's, got to remember, we won that in 94. And I recently this year, someone called me from a pawn shop on the outside of New Orleans. And said, I did some research, and this ring came in my shop, and I looked at the roster, and there was only one Anderson. Are you that Anderson? Said, yep, you got me. And lo and behold, to make a long story short, it got to the pawn shop, so somebody evidently kind of, I thought I lost it or somebody took it from me, and I didn't know. And the guy called me and said, hey, you want it back? And we went through all that. You know how sometimes you think about pawn shops, man. They're just trying to get you, man. But true enough, it was my ring. And he sent me a picture and all that stuff. And it's amazing. Matt Zimmerman was my operations guy. And I had the picture and I showed him. And of all guys, it's this guy, he don't forget what took place in 1922. And he wasn't even born then. This guy has just got to remember. Coach, I remember when you lost. We was at a hotel in New Orleans. We had just played Tulane. And we got on the bus, the plane. You said, hey, I think I left my ring in the room. Could you call back there? He said, call back there. And they had the maids look for it and all that stuff. They never did find it. But it worked its way to a pawn shop. And so you can imagine that was in, I think I must have lost like in 04, I think. So 04 till
2017,
and lo and behold, it shows up, and so I got my NCAA National Championship ring back, Bob.
And did the pawn guy make you pay for it, or did you take that as a good omen?
No, I had to pay for it.
What a story, man. Now, first of all, if you ever lose your ring, particularly your wedding ring, guys, your wife better be there when you lose it. But I don't think anyone in the fan base knew. This wasn't like public knowledge that he had lost the championship ring. Or at least if it was, you guys have any idea about this?
Well, and if you want to find something like that, though, he should have told the fan base.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, had he had told the fan base when he first was hired as head coach of the University of Arkansas, if he just said, hey, you know, the one thing I wish a fan would just go out and find my championship ring, that thing would have been found by Razorback fans in probably about 2 weeks. And somebody would have found it, purchased it, and delivered it to his office.
I think the most amazing thing is that he said it was still in good shape. You think about probably the amount of hands that it was exchanged. That may not have been the first pawn shop it was hawked at.
True.
I mean, we're talking 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time. And I couldn't imagine how sick I would have felt if I was Mike Anderson and losing my national championship ring. Because I believe he said that was the one that was given to him by the NCAA.
Right.
It wasn't even...
There was two rings that they had. That the NCAA made them a ring as national champions. And then the University of Arkansas had some rings that had the number one and was a little bigger and had some other stuff on it. So they had two different rings, but the one he had lost was the NCAA championship ring.
How much would you pay for a national championship ring?
Well, I mean, what I would pay for a Razorback championship ring would probably be different than what I'd pay for any other championship ring.
Right, but how much would you...
I don't know. The number that just sticks out in my mind that I wouldn't go over would be $1,000.
Yeah, it'd be the same way. I wouldn't pay over $1,000.
So if I can go find a Razorback championship ring, both of you guys would give me at least $990 for it.
Depends on whose name. I mean, there would be some factors, but perhaps. I mean, that's something that I'm not a collector. I'm not a guy. You're not going to come to my house and see all these football helmets that are signed or these footballs that are. I'm just not a memorabilia collector. I've got some. You know, I've got some stuff hanging on the walls that is sports related, but I don't get autographs. I don't collect things. So that's not really my deal, but that would be a neat piece of history that, you know, there's only how many of the, I mean, I know that a lot of the support staff, but if it was someone on the team, there's what, 20 of those counting coaches and people directly involved with the team?
Probably around that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is like you said, I wouldn't go out and spend that much money. No offense. If it was John Inkscough, you know, and it had his name on it, it wouldn't have the same value it would if it was Corliss or Scotty or any of the other guys that had a lot to deal with that national championship team. But it would still just be something that'd be extremely awesome, especially if it was the one given by the NCAA. It wasn't one that the U of A bought. That was one that the NCAA is like, no, you won the championship. Here you go.
Here was the question that started the conversation that Bob Holt had asked him the question. There in Detroit. Is this a good omen?
Can't be a bad one.
You know, it can't be a bad one that you stumble across your championship ring in a pawn. I mean, what are the odds? A pawn shop in New Orleans, of all places? You lost it in 2004, and you get it back in 2018, just days ahead of a tournament appearance? I don't think this is going to put Arkansas in the Sweet 16 or anything, but this is, you know... It's one of those things that if Arkansas makes the Sweet 16, if Arkansas went on that run, boy, isn't this a nice little cherry on top to the story that factors in that kind of as we weave and tell the story years from now, won't this be a nice little footnote, a nice little accent to the story if Arkansas can get on a run here?
It was like that stupid rally squirrel that happened.
Yeah.
Or the rally possum or whatever it was. It's just
the rally ring.
Yeah, it'll just be one of those things that was like, hey, and Arkansas hadn't made it to the Sweet 16 since 96. It's been a long time. But when Mike Anderson found his championship ring, that's when it all turned over and they got it going. It's going to be given a lot of credit, at least by a lot of Razorback fans for that matter.
Or whenever Tommy Kraft allowed Twitter to hire John Neighbors, that's whenever Arkansas made it back to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. So, hey. Just depends on...
If it doesn't work out, the people made the decision, you know. I've got the perfect escape hatch here on this deal. So
hey, and I've never been to San Antonio, so it'd be a really cool opening few weeks to the new job to be able to go down to the Final Four in San Antonio.
I'm always up for some good guacamole and cheese dips.
No doubt.
Sounds good. Hey, spring break is here, and if you're looking for something different to do with a family this next week, how about Gaston's White River Resort, 870 431-5202. Still some time left in March. St. Patrick's Day weekend, spring break week coming up. When you stay two or more nights right now at Gaston's, you get 30% off your lodging at Gaston's White River Resort. 30% off when you get one of their great cottages, one of their great lodges, one of their great accommodations there at Gaston's White River Resort. So be sure and check it out online at Gaston's.com. Gaston's.com for all the details, and you can choose the space that you need at Gaston's White River Resort. They can also help you reserve that boat and motor, the perfect guide to take you and your family out and really enjoy the White River and land your limit. Gaston's White River Resort. Find them on Facebook and online at Gaston's.com. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time.